Saga Egmont presents Letters to a Stranger by Sarah Mitchell. Read by Gabrielle Nellis Payne. This book is dedicated to the Glaven Community Caring Centre and the members of care homes everywhere, especially the ones whose own stories will never be told. More than kisses, letters mingle souls. John Donne. Behold me going to write you as handsome a letter as I can. Wish me good luck, Jane Austen. Prologue. Letter Ruby to Edmondo, 25th of August, 1942. Dearest Edmondo, we're spending our third night in the shelter of the cellar this week. Mother has brought down blankets and pillows as makeshift beds, together with a large thermos of vegetable soup and a box of candles. Nobody wants any soup, though. Father is sipping whiskey from his hip flask, whereas my stomach is so tied in knots I couldn't even keep down water. The shelling is louder than ever tonight. Although the anti-aircraft guns never seem to stop, 5 minutes ago two explosions in quick succession rocked the walls and made dust rise from the floor like desert sand. Still, I'm trying hard not to listen to the raids and to focus on the page in front of me, even though I know that at any second the house could come down on top of us. Just now, Mother asked me what I was doing. Writing a letter to Edmondo, I replied matter-of-factly. Her face froze in shock, then she exchanged a quick, panicked glance with Father. My hand paused. I waited for them to say something, anything, but neither of them said a word. What could they say? That I was mad or deluded? That I couldn't send a letter to someone who no longer exists? But you do exist, Edmondo, at least to me. In my head, you're still as alive and as dazzling as ever. I can see you sitting beside me right this minute, taking my hand amidst the crack and thunder of the bombs to stop me from shaking, whispering something funny in my ear, so that even now, when any instant could be our last, I find myself smiling, my breath calming. Or perhaps not. Maybe you're crouched in the furthest corner of the cellar, sullen and angry, and as far away from me as possible. After all, there's been enough time now for you to work out what I did, for the incredulity and disbelief to fade away, and for you to finally understand that me, Ruby, the person you loved most in all the world, betrayed you. Another blast. It feels as if the earth is being torn apart, and all the candles Mother lit earlier have sputtered and gone out, except for mine. Only my small puddle of light remains, at least for now. If tonight turns out to be the end, it's no more than I deserve. I love you, Edmondo. I always will. Ruby. Part 1. Note, Cassie to Mrs. Amanda Gibbons, 30th of March, 2020. Dear Mandy, I so badly wanted to talk before I went. I've been wanting to talk to you for so long. Ever since that awful night before Christmas. But if I don't go now, I might lose my nerve completely and not manage to leave at all. Noah is in the car. He has Elephant, obviously, and a box of tiny cars concealed by a folded-up Lion King sweatshirt. All I'm taking are 3 Tesco carriers stuffed with clothes and Noah's medicines covered up with packets of cereal and tins of tomato soup. Hopefully they look like bags of shopping. If anyone sticks their head in the window to ask where we're going, I'll say that Noah couldn't sleep, so we did a dash to a 24-hour supermarket. They won't, though, will they? Ask us where we're going, I mean. Not in the small hours of the morning. A parking ticket is enough to make me come out in a rash, and I'm not even kidding. Surely the world hasn't become so mad that I'm turning into an actual criminal for taking my son out of London, for keeping him safe. To be honest, it seems years since I booked the holiday, before anyone knew the word COVID, so I didn't even remember where we were going until I googled it an hour ago. Mainly east, by the looks of things. About 1 hour north, then 3 hours east. A kind of bottom-shaped hump with an awful lot of coastline.